Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, September 17th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 55 in the chapter We Agnostics, and we're going to study paragraph 1 today, and it begins with Yet We Had Been and ends with It Wasn't True. Make sure I got that right. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Laura R., the 12 Traditions, Carrie S. Reading the text today is Carol H. and Rachel P. Newcomer, greeter, sponsor, getter is Alex K. And Leslie M. will give announcements today. Grateful that you're all here. The share ID numbers for yesterday, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 13404. 13,404, that would be for Monday, September 16th, 2019, 10 a.m. meeting. And then this morning, we've already had a study. That would be Tuesday, September 17th, 7 a.m., and that number is 13,407, 13,407. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater out in Colorado. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Excuse me. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Laura R. I will now ask Carrie S. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Will do, Melanie. Thanks. It's Carrie S. in Golden, Colorado. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, Our OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or communities directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Carrie S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a clear recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Take note, it is the star 1 function for muting only, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostic on page 55. We're going to unpack paragraph 1 today, which begins with Yet We Had Been and ends with Wasn't True. And I want to ask Carol H. to open up this discussion today by reading that paragraph and commenting for 3 minutes. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Melanie. It's Carol H. in Northern Colorado, grateful to be part of this meeting today. Yet we have been seeing another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation from this world, people who rose above their problems. They said God made these things possible, and we only smiled. We had seen spiritual release, but liked to tell ourselves it wasn't true. Well, that's a short paragraph, but trying to get my thoughts around it. Before I came to OA, I did not have a religious affiliation. I did as a young child, but I know in my I came to OA when I was about 40, and I hadn't been part of any kind of religious community. And I guess I felt like I had a chance to do that, and I missed it. So therefore, I was on my own and very relying on self. And when I would see being part of a church community, I think I had harbored a little bit of jealousy because they knew something I didn't and they had a connection that I didn't. But I also was, suspicious. I thought, there's nothing there. I don't believe. Like to tell myself it wasn't true. You know, there was no thing as higher power or God that was there for me. And since coming to OA, now I know there is, come to believe that I do have a higher power. And I see this kind of other level of, you know, people like me in these 12-step rooms who know have another answer to anything that God presents to, or anything that, you know, that, well, it is God, anything that the world presents to them. I don't have to rely on myself. I have to do some work, perhaps, there's problems that arise, but I don't have to
alone and I can let things go that aren't there for me to take care of. I was reflecting on an earlier paragraph when it talked about, you know, imagine life without faith. And I remember relating that to imagine life without art. I'm a artist, I'm a musician, and I am very much into things nature and created by both myself and other people and by my higher power, by God. And I know there's reason. I know there's to work out, you know, scientifically and through solve problems, but me, I much rather let things just happen as they may. And I think that's directly, as a result of going through this step process and having that spiritual awakening and trust that higher power always has a plan. And that spiritual, what I say here, the spiritual liberation is really, you know, kind of grounds me now. It seems like they talk about flight and being above their things, but it grounds me and serene and happy most of the time. Of course, life doesn't always give us everything we think we want or need, but I know certainly every morning when I wake up, I'm grateful for the life I have and that I am being taken care of. I'm grateful to read this today and to share, and I'm excited to hear what other people have to say. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you much, Carol H. The lines are now open for others to comment on paragraph 1, page 55 this morning. If you would give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, I can line us up. Go ahead and press star 1, please.
Freya H.
Hi, Freya.
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M., good morning again.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B. Got some disturbance on the line there, so someone with a kind of a rumbling sound, I may not be able to hear.
Liz S.
Liz S.
Rachel P. P.
Rachel, did I hear? P, okay.
Yes, Rachel P.
And then Dossie P.
Dossie P. Okay, that's all I got to have for now. And the fellow that's trying to come on, maybe you want to hang up and dial back in as a poor connection. We don't want to miss you. Okay, so this is the lineup that I have. I have Freya H., Janice P.M., Julie E.B., Rachel P., Liz S., and Dossie P. Hi, Freya. Your 3 minutes is now. You want to press star 1 real quick.
Hi, Melanie. This is Freya H.
Hi.
Am I unmuted now? Great. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado and love hearing all the other voices in Colorado and everywhere. And this, it's important for me to put this paragraph in context to see that they're comparing, they're using the example of the Wright brothers who astonished everybody by, you know, proving the greatest minds wrong and actually creating a flying machine that worked. And so they're saying that I, you know, that as an atheist or agnostic or someone who hasn't yet, you know, someone who is maybe in step 1 but hasn't moved to step 2 yet, that I am like those people who said the Wrights would never fly. And that they're saying in this paragraph that we've been seeing another kind of flight, a spiritual liberation, people who rose above their problems. So those are the people who have recovered. And I look and see their example. And in this paragraph, it's talking about, you know, it says we like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. And when I read that, it's like, well, that seems crazy. Why on earth would I want to believe that recovery isn't possible? And that's where, when I look at, do my step work, and I especially look at steps 6 and 7, I look at, you know, becoming entirely ready to let go of whatever's blocking me and recognizing that, oh, there's often reasons, really, really concrete, good reasons why I'm not, or I don't want to say good reasons, but like compelling reasons why I maybe don't want to let go of whatever belief I have. And especially like the belief that I can't recover from this, you know, or I can't recover from that. And it was really, it's really powerful for me to continue to go through the steps and, you know, and assume that this does apply to me instead of thinking, oh, yeah, I've done step two. I'm over that. And look at, where am I agnostic? Where do I still have skepticism and prejudice that maybe God can't help me in this particular area of my life? And one of those areas is, you know, just this idea that I'm so deeply flawed, you know, that like I'm not going to be able to ever experience the kind of complete recovery that I hear other people talking about. And it's so liberating to know, to understand and recognize, oh, I can give that to God too. Like God's even bigger than that. So anyway, I hope that makes sense. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much, Freya H. Janice P.M., you're next. You're 3 minutes. And then, let's see, Julie E.B. will follow you.
Okay, I thank you. Yeah, hello, my dear. Melanie, if you could time me, I don't know if I can talk that long. But anyway, thank you. Yeah, spiritual liberation and release. Well, you know, I was never released from the bondage of this disease, because I said, you know, first of all, when I was young, I did not grow in this area of spirituality. I mean, I thought I was growing mentally and physically, certainly, but I wasn't convinced yet that I really needed, you know, somebody to free me of this disease. I thought so much of myself and my grandiosity that I really didn't need anybody until I needed somebody or something. See, my spiritual, it's really funny, it's like a paradox. My spiritual development stopped. There was no growth here because of my disease. The number one problem was the number one factor was denial. I was in denial that I could do this myself until I found that I couldn't do it myself. These new ideas, I mean, I just shut my mind to it. No, I can do it. I can do it. I have logic. I have reason, you know. But see, I found out that, see, that wasn't even enough because it wasn't even working. So, you know, they told, you know, when I came into the groups, they told me that the spiritual liberation, that freedom, that release, they said that God, that a God made that possible. Well, you know, my God, I had my own prejudices against. But, you know, when you read Bill, saw the need, he was superior too. He was grandiose. He saw that he needed this thing or this person or this power that would release him from the bondage of this disease. That's when I had to be convinced of myself, of this disease, that I couldn't do it. Until then, you know, I'm not even going to open my mind. You know, if I think it's the truth, I'm not going to have, I don't have to believe it. So that was me. The development of the spiritual part of my life was not grown. It did not develop. It just didn't develop because I didn't open my mind to other ideas. So I was the problem. I can't believe reason. I can't understand. So I was in denial from the bondage of this disease. And then as soon as Bill said, or Evie said to Bill, use your own conception. But I still had to be convinced. That's the whole thing with me, that I couldn't do it mentally, physically, but the spiritual was really the problem, wasn't it? And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. Julie EB, it's your time now, and then Rachel P will come after you.
Hi, this is Julie EB, gratefully recovered in Colorado. Wow, spiritual liberation, a different kind of flight. I was on a flight always away from my problems, and I was on a flight always into the food or into dieting, restricting, anorexic and bulimic behavior, whatever it was that would give me flight away from the feelings that were pressing on me. And this was how I was seeking, as it says on the bottom of page 25, to blot out as best I could my intolerable situation, my consciousness, my awakeness to that. And that's all I was awake to. So, of course, seeing other people do it, it was almost too painful to believe, to see other people flying away from their problems. Because, after all, wasn't I always just being hit by life, hit after hit after hit? That's what my consciousness, my awakeness showed me, the ways that things were bringing me down and pulling me down. And yet today, I have, by the grace of this program, working the steps, I have this spiritual liberation. Right now, as I take step by step on my spiritual walk, right now, each step I take, I'm just right here. I'm not in the past. I'm not in the future. I'm right here. And this solves my problems. Knowing there's a higher power that has healed my past, that I have done my best to make amends for my past and continue my living amends, knowing that in the future, whatever comes, I will be there, not alone, but with my higher power and all my fellows, allows me to take spiritual flight and just be in this moment right now today. And as someone wise once told me, the presence is in the present. And so right now in the present, I don't have to carry all that away. And it's like flying an airplane. It's like the little bird that just flew away in front of me. It's a way to solve my problems. So I have problems come up at work. But because I'm no longer defensive and say, yes, those are my character defects, my boss is on my side helping me to resolve them. I'm not perfect today. I just have a gift of knowing myself and knowing that I'm of value, and it's a beautiful way to live. So if you're struggling out there, reach out and don't do it alone. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Rachel P., it's your time now for 3 minutes, and then Liz S. will follow you.
Good morning, fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I'm going to start with the last sentence of this paragraph, the last few sentences of this paragraph. They said God made these things possible, and we only smiled. We had seen spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. That's the skeptic, and I was absolutely a skeptic when I walked into the room last year in May. I came in and I heard people talking about God and the spiritual solution, and I thought that I could be an exception. I really wanted the recovery that I saw in the rooms, but I thought, you know, maybe I can just not sign up for the God thing. Maybe I can do this my own way. But I kept coming back, and that was a miracle. I was absolutely a skeptic, and then I got a sponsor, and we started talking about the steps, and I started to understand that I couldn't avoid the God thing, but, you know, maybe I can augment it in a way in my brain so that it wasn't the same God that I grew up with. It wasn't the God who I felt had abandoned me and who had been responsible for, you know, all the pain that I had been through and all the weight that I had gained and the misery that I lived. And once I was able to develop that open-minded mindset as it relates to God, and now I do use the word God, which still floors me because for so many years I would not. I have taken flight. I have spiritual liberation. I woke up this morning in bed, and my immediate thought is God, I turn it over to my higher power, because the alternative is to live in the bondage of the food, and to live in the solution, the spiritual solution is freedom. And I woke up this morning without a food hangover. And for whatever reason, that thought just came in my mind when I woke up this morning. It was, I don't have a full stomach. I don't have this shame to carry. I don't have to live in this misery anymore. And how grateful am I for that? It's just so incredible. You know, I couldn't put together like 2 weeks before I came into OA And I would wake up with that food hangover, that misery, for much of my life. And it was such a source of pain and isolation. And now that I've accepted the spiritual solution, I have taken flight and I'm free from the bondage of food and the bondage of isolation and pain and misery and everything that was keeping me in disease. And I don't have to live that anymore, thanks to this solution, because I have this open mind and I'm willing to work the program. And I do. I work it. So thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thanks, Rachel P. Good timing. Liz S., it's your turn, and then Dasi P. And we're going to open it up after that for more people to share on the paragraph. Hey, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. in New Hampshire. And I really like this paragraph because it reminds me of something that was very important to me growing up. My grandmother used to go to church every day, and I had run from church after sixth grade, and I used to silently mock her and think she was just a fool, and I didn't really smile at it. I thought I was right. I always had to be right. That was one of my greatest flaws, and I thought she was a fool, this going to church every day business. And what I learned later, I knew this about my grandfather, but what I learned later was her going to church every day saved her life, because she lived with an active alcoholic, very active. And this, her faith and her going to church every day and her belief, I think very likely is what kept her alive. And of course, I didn't really come to learn this and understand this until I came into program myself. And, you know, I was turning back a couple of pages and reading this one paragraph that says, you know, they show how the change came over them when many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives. They present a powerful reason why one should have faith. I think that was the case with her. It has become the case with me. And I could come to a point where I understood her, and I could really understand why her going to church every day saved her. Her faith saved her. And now my faith in the God that I've come to understand is saving me. And it's very, very important. And this small paragraph has that much meaning for me in my life, and I wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz. I appreciate it. Okay, we're going to have Dossie P. But before you step in, Dossie, I wanted to just remind people where we are. We're on page 55 of the big book, chapter We Agnostics. We are unpacking paragraph 1 today, and it starts with yes, we had, and ends with wasn't true. And after Dossie has her 3 minutes to share with us, I'm going to open up the lines for additional people to comment. So Dossie, if you want to press star 1, it will be your 3 minutes.
Can you hear me?
I can now. Yeah, there you are.
Thanks. Hi. Yeah, thanks. You know, I was thinking about during this reading was just kind of like the vision that so many of these pioneers in the world have had to see beyond what most of us could see with our limited consciousness. You know, I mean, these people had this vision of flying in the air, and everyone thought they were crazy, but they could see something else beyond what most people could see, and then it was able to come through. And I think that what we learn when we come into this program is that our limited consciousness, that's not enough to solve this problem that is so beyond us. It's so beyond the realm of just kind of human aid, right? And we need that greater sight to come through us. We need that greater power to come through us, to inspire us to live in a greater plane. The promises of the big book say that if we follow these steps, our consciousness is going to be elevated to another plane of reality, you know, and so it can be hard in the beginning to believe that because you're not there yet, you know, you're not there yet. And so in the beginning, and you might just spend your whole life working to get there. But in the very, very beginning, you kind of just have to go off the strength and that thing that you can't put a word to that you get from people who are recovered. And then later, as you grow in consciousness, you start to realize that thing is that power that's flowing through them. I can always hear someone who's really done the work in these rooms over the decades, because when they speak, there's something else coming through them. And I can feel it in that deeper part of myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Oh, thanks so much, Dossie P. Okay, so the lines are now open for additional folks to comment on that paragraph. Paragraph 1, page 55. I'll take your first name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Jackie H.
Jackie H. Ginger C.
Wendy
Mo
B.
H.
Patty T.
Did I hear Wendy?
Yes, Wendy Patty.
Okay, Wendy B. And I got Patty.
Oh.
T.
Mo. Mo H.
Okay, Mo, gotcha. And that's probably all I'm going to take. I might have room for one more if you want to give me your name with no promises. Okay, Leia, I got you then. Okay, great, Leia. That's a contingency one if we have more time. Okay, great. So this is how it goes. Jackie H., Ginger C., Wendy B., Patty T., Mo H., and Leia S. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado with a little gravelly voice. But anyway, wow, my mind is all over the place. And I think, gosh, what do I want to share? I used to have dreams. I still do have dreams sometimes that I was flying. And I loved the lightness of it. And it was my safety. And it was beautiful. And then there were times when I was... This was before recovery and in recovery as well, I have to say. Not recovered, but in my recovery, when I wasn't dealing with things and when I was not spiritually fit, I wanted to be a bird and fly away. And I always knew, and I still do, when I have that flight and, you know, that flight feeling that I want to fly away, I know that there's something going on. And I used to think, you know, I saw people who rose above their problems, and oh my goodness, I admired them, and life seemed so simple for them, and I wanted that so much. And so I tried to be like them. I tried to layer on good acts. You know what I mean? I would layer on what looked spiritual. I would layer all these things on. I was still heavy, heavy, heavy as could be, because it wasn't about piling on it, this stuff. It was about releasing. It was about unloading the character defects, right? And as so that the real me, the essence of me, the beautiful, beautiful perfection that God made me could shine through. And when I got that in my head, and started, and I'm talking, this is after I put down the food, okay? Because the food was not the problem. The food was my solution. It was another thing I would layer on just to soothe myself. So let's know that the food's down while I'm going through all this. And I, as I'm unloading these spiritual or these character defects, oh my goodness, then yes, I do get to take flight, and I have the lightness. And I get to shine, not me, not my ego. There's nothing about my ego that needs to shine. But the real essence of who I am gets to rise above all this and actually take spiritual flight. And I feel that way today. And I want to stay that way. The only way I can stay that way is to do these steps and to live in these steps every single day. And that is where I find and so I'm not looking anymore. I used to look. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was looking for spirituality here and there and everywhere. And here I am doing this simple program, this Design for Living, and I'm actually getting what I have been looking for my whole entire life. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Ginger C., it's your turn, and then Wendy B. will come after you.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your service. And Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The spiritual liberation, this God again, always doing for me what I could not, would not, and I will not do. And today is a really huge day for my story out of this food nightmare, this nightmare that I thought would never end. I didn't know if I'd be here because the suicidology was really bad. And today is my husband's birthday, and my Ebby, who just was so persistent with me, thank God, even if they're eating, you can still share that you love them and that you're here for them and encourage them, because that's what she did. She knew I was dying in the food. And she said, Ginger, vision for you is starting over today in the big book. And she said, this is, could be your beginning. Just listen. And I didn't listen. I didn't want to hear anything that Vision for You was saying. I was eating. I don't listen. I don't go to meetings when I'm eating. I have my food. But I couldn't believe that text came on the day that my husband's birthday, because what I would not give back to that man that has walked through with me, but to return home, because he's been missing me for a lot of years. And so that day, 4 years ago today, I made an airline ticket to go out to Vision for You, that first convention that they held in Virginia Beach. And that was the little muscle movement that I made. And I didn't stop eating, and I never planned to stop eating. I brought my food with me to that convention. But this is the gift of this God that's down deep within all of us. So if you're eating and you're not quite there yet, don't give up. Don't give up, but keep seeking and asking, because in August, I did ask God help me, and I really meant it. September, I made an airline ticket. October, God put the fork down. I didn't do a damn thing, but I did ask for help, and I meant it. And thank God that I keep moving my muscles today, because I cannot afford to go back to the greatest lie. I wouldn't want to give up this life for anything, and my family is counting on me. They don't want to see their mom back in that condition and state. So spiritual, one day at a time, and just move a muscle. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Wendy B., your turn, and then Patty T. will follow you.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I can see how this could apply, you know, to someone who hears the recovery on this line, but they aren't willing to give up the food yet, you know, so their disease tells them it's not true, you know, that the recovery they hear is just words, you know, that it's, you know, the voices they hear are hypocrites, you know, not really walking this way. And this just reminds me to not come across as arrogant, you know, that I have a handle on the truth. You know, the big book says that there's much more that we don't know yet, you know, more will be revealed, and that we aren't an elite group, you know, it's that we're open to all, you know, and that also that there are other OA big book groups that are working, that's working for others, you know, that have, if our approach on vision doesn't work for someone, you know, and I don't want to repel someone with a know-it-all arrogant attitude. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. Patty T., you're next, and then Mo will come in after you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. This is Patty T., recovered today from Southern California. Oh, wow. People who rose above their problems. You know, the thing is, I didn't think I had any problems. I mean, I lived in denial my entire life. When I would see people experiencing a spiritual release, it reminded me of the fiction and fantasy I lived in, right? And it was okay for them, but it didn't even occur to me that it was spiritual release. I don't even know what I thought. I just thought I couldn't rise above my problems because I was my problem. You know, that was how I perceived myself. And coming into this program immediately showed me people living from a different perspective that had problems, but who overcame them through these steps and through seeking a relationship with this higher power, this God. And I thought, I think I could do that. I'd always been a spiritual seeker, at least as a child, living in an alcoholic home where most of the time I was ignored. But I didn't know how to apply that for myself as an adult in any way. And this program taught me how to do that. And, you know, it was hard because when I went through 6 years of chronic relapse, I would tell you right then, oh, this is crap. This is bull. This is not true. You know, because that's who I was. I was in the victim who was rolling around in the morass of her disease and her victimization, right? And I didn't want to believe. And I refuted everything. There's a funny thing about God or this higher power. It never leaves. It never abandons me. I abandon it. And the thing about this program is that the people in this program act just like that God. They don't abandon either. And because of the people in this program that kept me tethered, I was able to come back. So if you're struggling, I will reiterate what was already said. Keep coming back. Keep an open mind. There is a way to rise above your problems. You are not the problem. You simply have a disease. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Patty T. Mo H., you're next.
Well, thank you, Merit, Melanie.
Hey, welcome.
Okay. Yeah. Good morning. Thank you, Melanie, for your service and all those giving service. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict from Northern California. Wow. I love all the shares and don't give up and God never left me. And oh my God, it's just powerful. I want to refer to is it said we had seen spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. On this line, I didn't see it. I heard it. And when I first got on this line, it was like blowing me away. And it was my sponsor who introduced me to this line. And I just was blown away. And I would talk to my sponsor. I said, those people say they're recovered. What do they mean? I don't understand that. And she explained that to me. And, you know, and that would happen for me too if I worked those steps. Like my hair is on fire. And there's some place in the big book, I don't know my pages, but it says, we are rocketed into a fourth dimension. There's my flight, rocketed into a fourth dimension. And I have to say, the way I'm rocketed into my fourth dimension is when I wake up in the morning and bam, 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 before I know it, three things have gone awry and I need to do 10 steps. You know, it rained suddenly the night before last, and I accidentally left the barbecue open. And then a couple of other things happened. But then I did my 10 steps, and then I'm rocketed into that fourth dimension. And so when my sponsor would say to me when I was first beginning with her, it was about 4 years ago right now. No, it was December, so pretty soon. She would always tell me to go to God, say a prayer, pause. Go to God, say a prayer. And I was like, oh, what's all that, you know? And I knew God, and I was connected to God, but, you know, not that often. You know, maybe Sunday, maybe sometimes during, you know, the day, maybe before meals. But now it's all the time. And when I'm dealing with sponsees and they're struggling, I say, pause and pray. We have that pause, pray, and proceed the way that we work our daily life. And you know what? My day can be okay even if it doesn't start out the way I wanted it to start out. So I just am so, so grateful for all of you for never giving up. Yep, like somebody said, never give up. Always hang in there. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks so much, Mo H. Hey, Leah S., we have 3 minutes for you. Would you like to take them?
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Leah S., back in Brooklyn, good old Brooklyn. People who rose above their problems. You know, people who rose above their problems, those are Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Supergirl. Oh, my God, that's fantasy. All that idealistic fantasies, these are not true. And you're not going to suck me in about God rising above my issues. And it came a moment of truth. And the moment of truth is that, sadly, I was overweight. I was going downhill, and I was having pain all over my body. And that's the moment of truth, even within the eating and the crying, and still continuing to eat while I'm crying. The moment of truth. Can I? Is there hope? Oh, you betcha there is. So many changes, so many drastic changes today, with every day in each situation and every part of my life. I bring God into it, and that's my personal God. It's love, kindness, tolerance, and acceptance, and it's always there, like a faithful, always, always, as rock, as I can't even compare or say what it is like, but it is my foundation. It is the answer to all of my problems. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah. You know what? There's time for someone else to take a 2-minute share. Who would like to take it? Star one, 2-minute share. It's ticking.
Hello?
Sarita P.
Hi, hello?
Yeah, my name's David.
Hey, David, take two.
Yes, I didn't hear the reading, but I am a... compulsive overeater, and just for me, OA program, just for me, it's like following the 12 steps is so important to me, and just trusting in my higher power is just such a blessing, and I can't do without him, and it's like in step one it says, oh, if the car wouldn't break, if I live with my mom, if my mom didn't do this, or this person did this. But what about me changing? What about me changing my ways? And I need to change my ways with my higher power. And I thank God just how he helps us through each day, one day at a time, not looking towards the future or, and not looking towards the past, but helping just one day at a time. And I just thank God just for the OA program, it's a family, and I just praise him and thank him. And I live on the coast of Washington, in Port Angeles, Washington, and it's just a blessing being here. And God bless.
Hey, David, before you kick off and mute, would you give the first initial of your last name, please?
It's I.
Would you be willing? I, like Igloo. Okay, got it. Thanks so much. Appreciate your share this morning. Keep coming and joining us each day for study. Mm-hmm. That would then conclude the sharing and recorded portion of this meeting here. Let's wrap this up by thanking everyone that was of service today. Grateful for that. Say the serenity prayer together. Say the closing, that sort of thing. So what I'd like to do is ask Rachel P. to please read page 164 from the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then you all stay around for the serenity prayer and greeting newcomers, please. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive eater in Denver. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is so sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass. For you and countless others, this is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.